You haven't been here before. We're in a very special area in this work at the moment. Those of you who have read Parenthesis in Eternity know that Joel has accepted that terminology from a mystic of old, that this is a parenthesis. And we here, in following his work, are learning to make our transition out of the parenthesis. We know that the world passes out of the parenthesis through death. We find that there are two ways to move out of this parenthesis, and one is death, and the second is transition. And when we have reached the point of agreement that transition is taught in the Bible and transition is possible, even that transition is inevitable, then we turn our efforts toward fulfilling the conditions necessary to step out of the appearance of death into the experience of transition. So you might say that the stage we're at in this class is called preparation for transition. We've spent much of our classwork to reach an understanding that the Christ message on earth was about the divine child . The self that is immortal. It was a revelation that where form stands, the life of God is. That where you appear to be, the life of God is. That wherever you move in your form, the life of God is. And that no earthly power can in any way be a power, because the power of God is always present. And if we have not experienced that power of God, but have instead experienced the powers of this world, we have merely been under the hypnotism of the senses. We have accepted that God is not the only power. And so we fall out of Eden into a belief that there is a good power, a bad power, intermediate powers, all kinds of powers that can threaten us. And then, of course, we run from the powers, or we either patch up the illusion of that self which was hurt by these false powers. Now, in our purification, as we remove that which is not true from our consciousness, we are preparing to receive the descent of the Holy Ghost, preparing to be inspired from above. But actually, the words descent and from above are but expressions to say that we are preparing to know God aright, right here where we are. And to do this, it becomes necessary to stop ignoring the words of the Christ and the word of the Father. It becomes necessary to face truth with a different kind of courage than we may have been felt to express at a previous time in our work. We all have mothers. We all have fathers. Many of us have children. And we are told to look at all this in a new way. Why? Because in your preparation for transition, if you are still under the lingering illusion that you walk this earth, that you live in a human body, you are asking for reincarnation, and you will get it. You cannot go through a study of the resurrection of Lazarus and continue to live in the concept of a human body and say that you are following the Christ message on earth. The Lazarus that walks into the tomb is that form which allegedly was born of a woman. And the form that walks out of the tomb is not the form born of a woman. The Jesus born of Mary form is not the form that says to Mary, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" The revelation of spiritual flesh has gone unheeded in our world. That which is called material flesh walks into the tomb, spiritual flesh walks out. They are twins. You can't tell them apart. That which is considered to be material flesh is born of Mary. That which learns its identity and opens to the Spirit and dies to the sense of human selfhood is invisible spiritual flesh. And we're called upon to know that where we walk in the appearance called mortal flesh, spiritual flesh is. Where we walk in a sense of mortality, immortal life is. When form lays down and dies, immortal life continues to function the spiritual flesh that is there. We are not creating soul bodies. We are learning that they already exist. And you may have learned by now that there is much invisible life all around you. The higher your consciousness, the more of it you feel, see, and even commune with. Now again, we look at form. Let's go ahead 30 years and see form as it passes out of existence. You must ask yourself now, why does God permit that form to pass out of existence? Why does God not govern that form? When a form dies, you must see that it is not God governed. That's why it dies. Take your form 30 years from now and ask yourself what is going to happen to it. When it passes out of this world, is it because it's God-governed? Or is that an evidence to you that it does not contain divine life? That it is not governed by divine life? And you will see that we, living in the parenthesis of matter, focusing on the parenthesis of matter, have not been able to get the broad view of our own being. We see the horizon in which the form passes out of existence, but let's go beyond that. And let's see the immortal life that continues in transition. Never changing course, never stopping its stride, ever being itself. And now let's look at that form which God does not govern. We've looked at it 30 years from now. We're willing to admit that 30 years from now, when that form goes, if I were there able to be conscious of it, I would have to admit the form goes because God is not the life of that form. The life of God cannot be the life of a form that dies. Bring that form back to this minute. If the life of God is not the form or the life of that form 30 years from now when it passes, can it be the life of the form now? And you discover a truth we have been unwilling to face, that the life of God is not governing your form now, if you are living in a human sense of form. That form, which is not governed by God, is not governed by God for a reason. It wasn't created by God. The human form, not governed by God, as evidenced by the fact that the human form dies, is not a divine creation. And nothing in the human form is divinely created. Neither the brain, nor the heart, nor the vital organs that we use for digestion or procreation, none of these organs are divinely created. Neither are the senses. The very eye you use to discern objects is not a God creation. Why? Because it dies. The ears you hear with are not divine creations. They die. Whatever dies, obviously, is not created by eternal life. And these senses that die, the human forms that die, are Lazarus before he enters the tomb. We must ask ourselves, which Lazarus am I? The one who goes into the tomb, the one in the tomb, or the one who comes out of the tomb? Am I mortal flesh that must die, or am I spiritual flesh? The form not created by God is mortal flesh. The form not governed by God is mortal flesh. But there is a form created by God and governed by God, and it comes out of the tomb when the mortal sense of form perishes, provided there is a consciousness there in which Christ has been awakened. And then a new form emerges, a twin form, made not of mortal flesh but of spiritual flesh, appearing visibly to human sense, and yet a totally different form. That form is the form that is prepared for transition. That form does not reincarnate. That form is ever present, or it could not have come out of the tomb. Now, if God does not sustain the human form, you can say that it was not God created, but you must go further still. If it was not God created, and this is the truth against which the human mind rebels, if it was not God created, is it alive? Can that which is not God created be alive? As you follow this, you will understand why we are told to awaken. You are told why the dead must bury the dead. That which is not created by God, which is life, cannot be life, cannot be living. It is something else. You take a piece of string and wiggle it, it moves. But it's not living. You roll a tire down the street. It moves, but it's not living. It's not alive. but it's in movement. We have let movement fool us in several ways. We think what moves is living because it has a face and a figure. But it isn't. We are fooled by the word sensation. We have called sensation life. But senses die. That which dies is not God created. When the senses die, there is no more sensation. And that which we have sensed merely is a recording in time and space. That's why Lazarus must die. Animation, sensation, movement are not life. And they are not sustained by God for that reason. So we dwell now in the knowledge that my spiritual self is what stands where the world has always seen its mortal sense of me. Where you stand in your so-called mortal self, there is a spiritual you that you must come to know. Now, we must look at motherhood another way. The form is not divinely created or sustained. That which is not divinely created or sustained is not life, but is imitation of life. It is an image, a mental concept, a world mind picture appearing locally in time space. Now, as you look at it, knowing, learning, and finally reaching the conviction that the Christ teaching is that the only substance here is the substance of God, the Spirit of God, the Christ of God, the essence of God, and that human form is not that essence. Ask yourself if that which is not God created can really be here. If it is not God created, it is not God sustained, it is not God's substance. If it is not living, if it is not real, is it here? And then you come to the final conclusion that form is not here. But Lazarus didn't die. Form which is not here couldn't die. That rebirth isn't dying to form. Rebirth is dying to the illusion of form. And ask yourself if a form that is not here can give birth to a child. How does a form not created by God, which is therefore an unreal form, give birth to a real form? You were born, you think. But how? How could a form be born of a form that does not exist? Do you see then the acceptance of form, and form giving birth to form leads to form dying? And all this is a denial of the allness of the Spirit of God. And so as we are willing to face that against that to which the human mind must consistently rebel, we're coming to a high Christ truth that you can only be the child of God if you are the substance of God, the Spirit of God, which was not born of the flesh. And the parenthesis which binds you into materiality is partially broken when you are able to stand in the knowledge that your spiritual flesh existed before your physical form. Your first death was when you died to your knowledge of spirit. And that was your first birth into form. Your second death is when you die to that form. And in between, you can make your transition out of that which is called the second death by being aware and practicing the presence of your spiritual flesh. When you're told to practice the presence of God, how can you practice the presence while you're practicing the presence of a physical self? If God is not a physical self. When you're told God is the substance of all form, surely you know that God is the substance of all spiritual form, and that therefore there can be no other. Surely then you can look at your neighbor and know that you're looking at spiritual flesh through the eyes of sensation. That sensation is veiling for you the spiritual flesh that is there. But it's there. And the sense of touch is veiling for you the spiritual flesh that is there. That when you look at your mother, you're looking at mortal mind's closest approximation of what it knows as divine love. That's what motherhood represents, the world mind's closest conscious awareness of divine love. That's why not all mothers express that love. Many do. The variation is because motherhood is not a divine creation. Fatherhood, childhood, none of these are divine. Whatever dies, whatever is mortal, whatever has an ending, and every form does, is not of God. And yet, where the form ends, the spiritual flesh that is there does not end. The life which governs it and animates it is still there, and life continues to live when form dies. And yet, when you're in spiritual flesh and form dies, the life continues to live the spiritual flesh that you are through its transitional preparation into the continuity of life eternal. Now, I know this is a word lesson at this point, and it must become an experience lesson. When Joel stresses that there is only one power, it is not enough to say, oh, there's only one power, there are no second powers, and go off feeling good. We must see then that if there's only one power, which is God, there's no power of death. There's no power of sickness. There's no power of unemployment. There's no power other than life power. Love power. Truth power. And yet, even though there's only one power, we're all still battling error as if it were a power. We're all trying to remedy things as if they were powers to cause evil. And the reason is because we have not yet come to that place where we can graduate from the belief of a false mortal sense of self. You may know there is one power. You may know there are not two powers or 10 powers. And yet you will always find yourself caught up in the appearances anyway. For a very simple reason. The you that battles powers, the you that is caught in sensation, the you that is caught up in appearances, the you that says, I'm unemployed, I'm sick, I'm unhealthy, I'm dying, I'm this and I'm that. That isn't you. In the false sense of self, it makes no difference what truth your mind says it knows. You will always be fooled by powers that do not exist, and they only exist to the false sense of you. Only when you are aware of your spiritual identity, aware of the spiritual universe, aware of your permanent self, willing to forego the illusions of a mortal self, only then is the false self of you removed and you face the truth of one power with no problem whatsoever. There's no false sense of you to be fooled into false powers. Suppose a little child has a strep throat and some kind of measles or whatever little children get. And you are called upon quickly to know the truth. If the false self of you takes this into consideration, you're going to go around the barn to make the demonstration of reality. If it comes to the human you, the one living in a physical form, you're just another physical form working on a little baby physical form. And you'll find that you're frustrated. But if you're in the true sense of self, the knowledge that I am the spiritual flesh, the immortal self, the life that is the Father, quickly you're in the one power. And then you, without much thought, know why there's no power to make a sick baby. And there's not even power to make a physical baby. All that's there is the perfect child of God. But you'll never know this spontaneously unless you're in yourself. And you'll never make a transition unless you're in yourself. And so at this point, we're in a very unusual position. We're either preparing for transition, or we're accepting inevitable reincarnation. And I can assure you that the purpose of this class continues to be and will be the ultimate acceptance of the total Christ message, which means that there is no disciple who walked with Jesus who had the ability to attain any further than you. It means that Andrew or Peter or John, however close they were to the Master, were no closer to God than you are. Because there was no distance between them and God, and there's no distance between you and God. There's not an inch between you and God right now. One Father, God, one substance, God, one being, God, one life, God, one power, God. There's no separation. We have heard words, and we have accepted them as words without peeking underneath those words. When you learn that the human mind is separated from God, you're also learning that all which the human mind sees is separated from God. How can anything be separated from God and exist? If a mind separates us from God, are we existing? God is life. Can you be separated from life and exist? Can a form be separated from God and exist? Now those of you then who can understand the incorporeality of your being and are practicing daily that you are incorporeal being, the living spirit of God, know that there is in you a power which is the only power in this universe. It is the power of God, omnipotent. You are unwilling to accept another power than that power. And you know that the power of God, omnipotent, is always present, always being that power. You know that sickness must be a suggestion. You know that evil must be a suggestion. You know that error must be a suggestion. Lack, limitation must be a suggestion. Why? Because the power of God, ever present, is ever perfect. False appetites, unemployment, sickness, sorrow, grief, these are all suggestions of the world mind. Out of your senses you will look at the world and it will never tell you that you are divine or your neighbor. It will always create differences between you. It will never tell you that there is one divine spirit present everywhere. Now let's try to see if we can accept that the divine self does not live in a human world. That as long as you live in a human world in your consciousness, you are still a human being separated from God. And the word separated from God means not here. You cannot be separated from life and be here. You may appear here, now then, how strong are we in our Christ faith? Are we still going to try to pour Christ into a human body? Are we still going to limit God? Are we still going to second guess God and be smarter than God and heal God? Or shall we accept the Father's word that Christ is not in a human body? That Christ is in the Christ body. That Christ is the present self of every individual who walks the earth. Christ's power is the only power present where you are. If you accept a second power, you are stepping out of the garden. There is one power. That is the message of the Christ. There are not two powers. There is no tree of good and of evil. We rise above good, we rise above evil into the acceptance of one power, spiritual power. No good or bad material power. And we're told by Joel that spiritual power, accepted, lived in, dissolves all material power without exception. All sickness, all unemployment, all lack, all limitation, all death is impossible. It's not something to be remedied or corrected. It only exists in the absence of the awareness of spiritual presence, spiritual power, one power. It's in the divided consciousness which does not know itself. I'm quite sure that Jesus Christ knew that he could not define to the world the nature of his mission in more specific terms, and didn't. I'm quite sure that Joel was able to explain this in more specific terms because of the lapse in years and the changing of times and the advance of education and the slow development of human consciousness to accept things which it was unable to accept thousands of years ago. But we are still called to go further to the ultimate, to put on the garment of immortality now. And there is no immortal self now that was ever born into a world. That form born into the world is pure illusion. Let's leave it in the tomb of Lazarus. And let's find that if we're not that form, we've got to be something else. And that's where you come into a place called consciousness. Consciousness. And let the Father define what consciousness is to you. Consciousness of the kingdom of God. Consciousness of spirit. Consciousness that the invisible present here is the kingdom of God. And the only way to walk in it is to walk out of the world. You can't walk in the kingdom while you're walking in the world. You walk out of the world. You walk out of the human form. All that dies is not of God, and everything in the world dies. Now, when you step out of it, all you're doing is breaking the chains of human belief. You are pure consciousness, not formed of the flesh. Not subject to powers of the flesh. Not subject to powers of the world. Right where you are, always, your divine law is functioning, maintaining its integrity. And there's a moment when this to you is not only glimpsed, but repeatedly confirmed until conviction and experience becomes the great joyous adventure that you consciously can walk in the kingdom here, out of the world here, while you appear to be in the world. You may meditate upon that and discover you have more capacity to do this than you realized. Out of the world. Not by going anywhere, but by knowing that the world, which is not created by God, is not here. It's only here to the imaged form, to the imaged sensations, which themselves are not here. All that is here is the Spirit of God, the invisible child of God, the self of God, the life of God. The world exists only to the mind that sees form. And the mind that sees what is not here itself is not here. The mind that sees form is not God's creation, because it sees what God did not create. And so we lay that mind aside, and we literally become free of the mind and its sensations, of the body and its sensations, of the world and its appearances. We move into what appears to be a void of nothingness, but it is a sea of spirit. We have no faculties to take us there except the faith that God says this is the kingdom of God, the Garden of Eden, and we are not going to eat of the tree of good and evil matter. We're not listening to the serpent mind. And in a moment, you can really feel out of this world, out of this form. You're in everywhere. You're in the infinite as pure spirit. And as you rest there, you will find the everlasting arms, the hidden manna. The intelligence of the Father begins to seep into your awareness as your awareness. And you find you haven't gone anywhere at all. You're simply in an incorporeal state of awareness. Where there are no divided cells. And if you attain there a moment of infinite silence, you will be fed very richly. We've all gone just now to the one physician, the Father's house. Some of you made a deeper journey into consciousness than others. And as you practice stepping out of the world and out of the form, right where you are, you'll find that unconsciously, without effort at times, you will have the realization that you're not in the world and you're not in the form. This will be your manger. Discover there why John did not report the birth of Jesus Christ, but instead he reported the birth of Christ in Lazarus. You walk out of the world that isn't here, and soon you find yourself alive in the kingdom of God that is here. Every problem that comes to you is telling you that you're still in a world that doesn't exist. And the false self of you is experiencing those problems. The only self there is of you is here, now, in the kingdom that does exist and has no problems. Instead of changing the problems, step out of the false self. And all that I have is thine. One power is functioning in this kingdom. One life eternal is functioning in this kingdom. that moment when we step out of good and evil, we step back into the garden. I want to recommend that even if you fumble and stumble, that you take the meditation out of this world into consideration several days, being out of world, out of form in your consciousness, until you can feel what Joel calls the click. Don't try to memorize anything, just do it spontaneously until you get the click. The click will be that inner peace which says, I've come to a different place in consciousness. I'm out of the flow of the world mind. I can relax here, knowing the presence is all that is here. I'm under divine law. I'm divinely governed right here. All that's here is divine. All that is undivine is no longer acceptable. And then we rest, finding we have reached a new plateau of consciousness. I have found the Father. I move in the Father. I live and have my being in the Father. His Spirit and my Spirit. I have discovered to be one Spirit. The mortal sense of self is left back there in time and space with all the other concepts. And so maybe your resurrection won't be quick, but it will be sure-footed. And as you practice this out-of-this-world meditation, you will have invisible help. The inner eyes will open. As you walk back into the appearance called world, the appearance called form, something that you have touched will remain with you as an invisible guide, as a silent pathway. And even the world you seem to walk in will respond to your inner knowing. To those of you who can go further, you can cut the umbilical cord which connects you to this world, just as a child is cut from the mother's womb. Until to you there's a certainty that you're not in the world, something that will never leave you again, that you've never been in a world. You've always been in the kingdom. You've always been the Spirit of God. And there's a place where this false consciousness is cut. And even though you permit yourself to walk back into senses, into body, into the world, that experience never leaves you. It is your constant reminder that the one power of your own being is all you need now. The words one power are a beginning. The experience of one power becomes your permanent dispensation. It enables you to stand in one power, one divine power, one omnipotent power, as a fact of life. Not something to be attained, a fact already established before the foundations of the illusion of world. And this fact you can move with looking at all evidence of power, all claim of power, and know that the only cause being God. I, having experienced the kingdom of God, the presence of God, the body of God, the mind of God, the power of God, need not remedy false powers, need not remove them. They are as non-existent as a corporeal world. They are only powers in a world that is not. And if my consciousness is in the kingdom of God, the powers of the world that are not are no concern to me. You hardly pay them a fleeting glance. If you're accepting them, you're being tempted back into the flesh. Now we're heading for the experience of spiritual flesh. And it will depend on your willingness to devote the time to meditations along the nature of out of this world, and as Joel suggests in this chapter, to meditate upon omnipresence, on omnipotence, on omniscience. We know there's one power, and we call that power omnipotent. Well then, if we call omniscience omniscience, what does it mean? It must mean one mind. And if we call omnipresence omnipresence, it must mean one presence. If we have one power, one mind, one presence, what power creates the evil that we experience? What power creates the sickness if there is no such power? What power creates disease? If there's no power to create it, where is it? Nothing but world suggestion. And what do you accept it with? You can't accept it with a mind that really exists if there's only one mind. Omniscience means one mind, one divine mind and no other. That divine mind doesn't accept error. What do you accept error with? A mind that isn't. So you see why you must step out of the form, the mind, the world, into your self that is, and how this is only done through practicing the presence of your real self as consciousness. Consciousness unformed in matter. Rejecting all that is not your real self. Refusing to be baited by sensation. And every time you find you're falling back into a sense of I am a physical being, it's only because you have not practiced and practiced and practiced. You never can be a physical being. There's no physical being who is the child of God. That's ignoring God, ignoring the Word, ignoring the Christ, ignoring yourself. That's putting your second self first, and it won't work. You've got to put your first and only self first, the divine self. And out of this practice, you find the capacity to fulfill the Christ message. You might say we're at a crossroads. You either built the foundation to do this or you haven't. And the reason we've gone so slow, maybe some of you think it wasn't slow, I think it's been slow. The reason we've gone at this pace is to build a foundation to enable us to walk out into what appears to be nothing with the knowledge that it is the kingdom of God invisible. To walk out of the conscious knowledge of flesh into what appears to be nothing, and yet with the assurance that I am walking in the Spirit of the Father as the Spirit of the Father. To drop all the dead weights of physicality. Not to heal them, to know they never were. Otherwise, we have said that we agree with Joel that there's one power, but we also think there are other powers, like creating babies, creating flesh, creating disease, creating accidents, creating problems, and creating death. These could not exist in one divine power, and therefore they do not exist. We're dissolving non-existence. Isn't that rebirth? Now, if it's difficult, that's good. If it even distresses you, that's fine. You've got to face it sometime. And you can't face it 40 years from now. That's reincarnation. The time to face it is in the day, not in the night. It's time not to ignore who we are, who God says we are, where we are, and what we are. And if we have to be little babes in the woods to do it, that is the meaning of being a child again. A spiritual child born in a manger, a new consciousness. The world is seeking God. The title of this book means do not seek God. Rest in God. Rest in oneness. To rest in oneness isn't seeking God. It's accepting the allness of God here now. You can't seek God. You've got to rest in God. God is one. Rest in oneness. Seeking is doomed to failure because it is a denial of the oneness. There's a false self that seeks. Who is the seeker? A false self. I am the one I was seeking. Rest in oneness. And don't put Christ in that physical form. Now, for those of you who thought this was difficult, you'll welcome the second half of this class. For those of you who thought the fifth chapter was simple, I'm glad we had the first half of this class. But I just couldn't go through the chapter, which you've heard so many times in so many words, and not come to the acceptance of one power. Then as we trace it out in human words again, those of you will feel more at home who have felt that too much is being asked of you today. And from it, I think you'll see that really too much wasn't being asked at all. 2,000 years is not too long to wait. We'll have a short intermission and then see what we have from Spirit in the second half.